I'm talking to Ian Jordan. Ian, where do you live?
I live on the Cavan Monaghan border. I was born and reared in the Cavan Monaghan border, but I now live in Lisnaskey in County Fermanagh.
Whereabouts in the Cavan Monaghan?
Just across Scotshouse Drum district, between 5 miles from Cahill. We farmed in Monaghan for 4 or 5 generations, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we moved in 1981.
But tell me, why did you move?
Because my mother was from Newton Butler, Maravilly area, and she wanted us to be schooled in Northern Ireland. Because when the small national school in Crunchigo closed in 1979, we moved to Newton Butler Primary School. So okay. I suppose she wanted us schooled in Northern Ireland, and she had always that loyalty to Northern Ireland. And to
yeah. But moving into the farm then, I mean, that in itself your parents must have known that, you know, this is...
Yeah, well, this is what I have discussed this with several Roman Catholic people about my uncle's murder, and they said, oh, she knew what he was getting into, and he knew what he was getting. But as I said, if a UVF man would have come up to Monaghan and shot a guard, that would have been no excuse. It would have been murder, 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 and that was it. It was criminal, and that was it. But whenever the IRA murdered for Ireland, it seems to be okay. They get absolution from whatever source in their faith that they think they get absolution for, but they seem to think that murdering for Ireland is okay. It's the same as Enniskillen bomb, 30 years after the Enniskillen bomb. Gordon Wilson forgave the people that did it, but the IRA never apologised or repented for doing it. To kill 12 innocent aged people on the streets of Enniskillen and never to show any remorse or any dignity to those people is just sums up the Republican mindset, and like it's just to me is I can't understand the mindset, and thankfully I never was tempted to go out and kill or harm my neighbour. And I'd rather be in my position than having without to kill and harm anyone.
Tell me, Ian, yes, I was going to ask you if you yourself thought about the security forces or...
Yeah, well, suppose you were young, red-blooded male at the time, and after my uncle shot Daphne, you would have been...
What year was he shot?
1986. You probably would have thought of, but thankfully... Being brought up in the faith and the home that I was brought up in, you were never tempted to do anything illegal or to harm any neighbour. Or we never, no, it didn't really. It was farming was in my blood, and so I never really thought about joining the UDR police because just where we lived, it was too dangerous, I suppose.
Yeah.
At the time, but I never really thought about it anyway.
So your dad then, did he hand over the farm to you, and did you...
No, I actually, I'm a job now. My brother farms at the home farm.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And what are you doing?
I sales rep, sell animal feed and visit a lot of farmers. So
how long are you doing that?
Oh, 22 years now.
Oh my goodness,
so
yeah.
It in itself has been, I suppose, an eye-opener for me because you're out and about meeting people, whereas... If I was farming, you would be in your own little cocoon and you could stay in your own little world and choose where you go and where you don't go. But the fact that you're out and meeting people, have to meet people that you don't necessarily like or agree with, I think leaves you a more rounded individual.
And what's your area that you cover?
Cavan Monaghan and Fermanagh. So yeah. Totally cross-border, totally. Yeah.
And... In that length of time, in 20 years, have you seen change from those early days?
There's definitely change. It's definitely a lot more people with no murders and killings in the area. It's definitely, there's a lot of nicer atmosphere, for the better word. But the fact that the IRA still can't bring themselves to show remorse for killing innocent people in Fermanagh is a very hard mindset to get around, because all right, they did it, and the facts are they did it, but I think there could be a bit more remorse and a bit more
do you think
a bit more dignity to show the hurt that they have caused? But obviously they don't want to do that, and not going prepared to do it. What they've gained from murdering people, they want to hold and going ahead, because they murdered farmers to get the land, obviously, and business people, and Newton Butler was just two prominent business people, the murder to just to try and drive the Protestant Unionist community out of the town.
How? Yes, well, in the farm at home, you know, when these threats and so on came in, was your father determined to stay on and farm the land there?
We just ignore the threats, and you probably had a fair idea who was making the threats, but you just ignored them, and sure, you can't let cowards dictate your life. And to this day, would still.
But that did that put you in a an awkward position that you had to be so careful that you had to watch over your shoulder?
Whatever. See, we still retained the farm in the south, and another thing, I suppose, happened, which again is another bugbear or another war crime, in my opinion, was I had three friends used as human bombs to drive them into the army checkpoints. Friends, and like we were going up and down through the army checkpoint every day, and only for the grace of God that we could have been a human bomb as well. But
oh, you better tell me about those.
Peter North farmed farmed and had a filling station on the border on the wrong side of the army checkpoint, of course. So of course 12 or 15 brave IRA men come to the house one night and held the father and mother hostage and put him in, made him drive a £500 angelic knight into the local army checkpoint. But thankfully they didn't go off.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
The local postman was the same. He was in the wrong side of the army checkpoint and they'd done the same with him. And then, thankfully, the third attempt failed. The tractor and trailer bogged in a field, so they didn't get putting the family in the into the human bomb.
And this all happened in the 80s?
Rosslea, Newton Butler area, 80s.
And
but the war crimes, and I would view them as war crimes, but nobody's interested.
Yeah.
There's no justice, no recompense, no apology, no nothing. The people that did it now flies Irish tricolours to gloat about doing it in the local town, so that's their mindset, so I suppose. But that's their problem. We try and forgive, forget, move on. Like another incident, which I suppose maybe not say proud of, but content with. My brother went to college in Harper Adams. Was a Catholic student from Coal Island, was over. With open hands, Robert gave him a lift back and forward to college. Next thing, he was lifted in London with four Kalashnikov rifles in the boot of the car. So, like,
you don't know who you
was the problem. Like, he would open arms, give him a lift, or hand of friendship, give him a lift back and forward to college. And next thing, then Robert was hauled in. Was he in the IRA? Was he in this and other? And obviously, English police didn't recognise one Irishman from another. So, but that was another small.
So, was Robert, your elder brother?
Elder brother, then?
So he had, and who was the other man? Do you remember?
He was a Barry O'Donnell fella. So he was later killed at the in Loughgall at the an act of service for the IRA. A school teacher, son of a school teacher, who should have known better than to go out and kill his neighbour. But again, I can't understand that mindset. And where they get the ideology out of, I don't know, but it's hard. I can't understand it, so I just, as I say, I'm just quite very relieved that none of my broader family or any of us got involved to go out and kill or murder anybody.
And in your business, when you go into a nationalist Catholic family in a farm. How do you treat them? Do you treat them the same way?
I just treat them the same respect as anyone else. Like, I don't mind what, like, if any man's nationalist or Catholic or aspires to United Ireland, that's, he has every right to believe in that. You know, unfortunately, I was born Unionist and British and aspire to remain part of the UK. Like, I have no problem with any man aspiring to whatever they aspire to, but when you go out and kill your neighbour and contrive to kill your neighbour and to is where the line I sort of calls it.
And these are all factual happenings. These are things that happened.
Factual happening, As I say, when we lived in Scots, it was, you didn't really see, you were 6-8 miles from the border and you were sort of secluded a wee bit from it.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the community, Scottish community, is a good, peaceful community, and there's no animosity towards any.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with the older generation now, there is a certain Sinn Féin element now that is seeking to maybe raise tension or not raise tension, but the difficulty I have with Sinn Féin is because they keep trying to justify killing innocent people, and like, to me they're not a legitimate party, political party. Like I don't agree with their left wing views, but like even to this day, the Sinn Féin chairman of Fermanagh and Omagh District Council cannot say that the Enniskillen bomb was wrong and it's condemn it. And when you can't condemn and say that killing 12 innocent people is wrong and totally wrong, is something wrong with the mindset.
Yeah.
But that's, again, hopefully it's all in the past, but...
But people then, nationalists, would say that, you know, the killing of... the Murphy man and the Leonard
man. I can totally agree with that, but I can see that point of view, but that is totally wrong. But people are being killed. The Protestant community had no protection. So what do you do? And thankfully, not many Fermanagh people took the law into their own hands, but I don't know who did that, but it was wrong. But the Catholic community went out and killed and gloated over the killing of their neighbours, and then they didn't expect anybody, no retribution or what. George Bush, American presidents, if somebody kills any American, they go out and take them out. So, like... definitely, it was totally wrong, but the problem, this is some narrative, I'm not saying it's my narrative, but Nan and Murray was killed in Newton Butler in whatever year it was 1970-something. There was no more IRA activity in Newton Butler till the army, it was a Scottish regiment killed them. And a fella his conscience got the better of him when he went in and confessed. And there was no IRA activity in Newton Butler from the time of the Nan killings till that confession. And then they thought that it wasn't the locals that killed them, so then they went in and killed Richie Latimer, Bobby Crilly, and Victor Murrow within 6 and 8 months. 3 defenceless men working in their shops about their business.
Yeah.
You know? But we have to forgive and forget for that, you know.
Your local town, Newton Butler, was really a hot spot, wasn't it?
It would have been a hot spot, Well, Bobby Crilly played. I have an aunt who lives in Dublin, and she met a clergyman 3 or 4 years ago, and he was Newton Butler at the time. And Bobby Crilly played him in the final of the badminton in the badminton club. And the last words Bobby Crilly said to him was, "I hope I'm about next year to defend my title in the badminton club." But unfortunately, he didn't live to next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But as again, you'd hope that it was in the past, and you would hope that the mindset has changed, that killing your neighbour isn't justified, whether for Ireland or for Britain or whatever.
Yeah.
But you wonder sometimes whether it has or not.
Do you think that your community, the people, the Ulster Unionist Protestants, haven't really spoken out much over the years about what happened to them?
But nobody's interested in our story. Nobody's interested in.
Has anybody ever come to your family and asked you questions about what happened?
Not really, no. Well, you see, we want to forget and move on. Well, not say forget, we want or forgive, but you want to move on with your life and to hopefully put that behind you and move on to better times. Like, I voted for the Good Friday Agreement, but I didn't vote. The problem is, there's no retribution or no recognition of the loss, in my opinion, that the Fermanagh Protestants suffered. But yet, any Republican death has to be investigated, it has to be retribution. David Cameron got up and apologised for Bloody Sunday in the House of Commons, which was wrong. You know, Bloody Sunday was wrong, sorry, you know, but and whether he should apologise or not. But Gerry Adams or Martin McGuinness never had the balls or the guts to stand up and say what we did was wrong, and it shouldn't happen. Now, the only consolation that you take that the scene was wrong and that did stop it. But they didn't still have the guts to say it was wrong.
The release of prisoners with the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I would have accepted that, but a lot of the older generation found that very, very difficult. But I would have accepted that if the Republicans would have moved on and let bygones be gone, bygones have moved on, but they're not. Republicans want justice for Bloody Sunday, they want justice for all the murders that they claim was inflicted against them, but they don't want to tell anything or provide justice for anybody else. What we did in the name of Ireland, and it was totally justified, and get on with it.
That has left an effect on you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It seems to.
You are
bitter.
Yeah. Well, I'm bitter, but I don't want to be bitter because I'm not. But like, somebody can't do something on you and you not feel bitter.
Yeah.
Like two Republicans thought it worth the while to hide in a hedge, come out of a hedge and shoot my uncle in the back. They hadn't even the guts to face him, you know, just because he was a part-time policeman.
Was he wearing a uniform?
No, he was on his farm, tapping his rushes in the farm.
Oh, yes.
You know, Victor Mara was a 61-year-old pensioner. They hid in a hedge out the road and pumped bullets into him. You know, you could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Douglas Deering was a JP, a brethren JP, a Protestant. He wouldn't even class himself a Protestant. He was a Christian man. Went into a shop and shot him. It has to have an effect on you.
But that terror, you know, that violence that existed at the time, you know, it left you a very highly strung person, I'm sure, you know, that you were checking you underneath your car, you were watching.
You're watching all the time. Probably, but
you
maybe.
You couldn't trust your neighbours, could you?
Probably not. You lived a very secluded life, yeah, you probably didn't, yeah. But it's just. You lived through it, and you held your head high, and you knew that you put your faith in God to protect you, and you knew that you'd done nothing wrong with any man, and you held your head high, and that was it.
I would imagine that, you know, the farming on the border has been a very contentious issue for so long, because people. They feel that they have ownership of the land and so on.
I suppose.
How do you feel about that?
I think the movie that I know it's not related to the Troubles, but the film The Field, Bull McCabe in The Field, it might be based in Kerry, but it's the same no matter where you are in Ireland. Land is in our blood, and that feels ours. You have to farm it whether you're making money at it or not. But. Unfortunately, it was religion and politics in the border area, but it equally could have been just greed or just, I have to have that land. And I know strong Protestant areas where there's severe competition over land and people falling out and rows and ructions and bad fallouts, families for generations. And, you know, strong Catholic areas was the same, you know. But unfortunately, religion and politics gets blamed for a lot of it. And. It was the reason, and well, it seems to be the reason along the border. But just it's the Irish psyche or the north and south. Just land is in the blood, and we cannot.
But you managed to your family retained the land in the Cavans on the Monaghan side.
Yeah. And I still call that home because it's where you feel safe, and our neighbours on that road. All right, nowadays you don't be talking to your neighbours every day, but the neighbours on that road is as good a neighbours as you get anywhere in the world. And we're mixed together and we socialise together, and there was never any aggro on
And is there anybody living, or was
My sister yes. lives there now, yeah.
Yeah, but when your parents left it, they left it...
Oh, isolated, yeah.
Isolated.
Yeah, well, there's retired, a cousin come retired home to it after, but there was people there intermittently all the time, but a cousin retired home to it, and then my older brother went to live in it, and then unfortunately he died in a farm accident, so my sister now has it. But another wee story, I suppose, epitomises Ireland too. After my brother died, we went to a local wake of a Catholic lady up the road and sat down in the CT, and of course we never would have been much in the house, and sat down in the CT, and who are you? You're young Jordan down the road, yeah. My mother thought a lot of your grandfather. Right. That's good to hear. Nice to know we're respected. And after another, it was a wee bit uncomfortable conversation. She seemed to be uncomfortable, but after another few minutes, she says, I suppose you don't know why? I says, no, but I suppose we're always good to our neighbours, and good neighbours good to us, and all the rest. She says, in the Troubles, in the 21 Troubles, your grandfather could have shot her father, and didn't. I says, right. But she says, that's all behind us now, thank goodness, we've all moved on from that. So that was from 1921 to 2015, so that was 94 years later, sitting on a couch half a mile up the road, this was related to me. So it just epitomised, again, it sort of gave me, and I'd say pride, but a piece that the older generation and the Troubles in the 21s in the Republic side of the border, that we still, wasn't in us to kill our neighbour or to harm our neighbour.
That's a fantastic
Even
story.
Though our house was being attacked for, obviously, my grandparents would have been in the Ulster Volunteers at the time and in the army and one thing or another, and the IRA had come to the house to raid it for guns. But even at that stage, it wasn't in us to kill or to murder or to whatever. And
oh, that's an amazing story. Yeah. So that's part of your past then, really.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. And
It was amazing 94 years later to have that story. I always knew there was bullet holes in the end of the house, and we were always said that the IRA had come and raided the house.
Yeah. Can you recall the names? Your grandfather's name was?
William Jordan.
William Jordan.
Harry
and
Jordan.
And what was that lady's name?
I'm not sure of her married name now, but it was a neighbour just.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is amazing because, like, those.
And that was from the Monaghan.
That was during the 21-22 Troubles, obviously.
Yeah.
Our end of Monaghan was maybe fairly evenly split between Unionists and Nationalists at the time, or Republicans or whatever at the time. And so one neighbour was in the IRA, and the other neighbour was in the UVF.
Tell me, you were born in the Republic?
No, I was born in Enniskillen.
Oh, sorry. But you grew up in, the Republic.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make you feel Irish, or do you feel not Irish?
The problem I have with feeling Irish is that any time I ever seen the tricolour was in the coffin of an IRA man glorifying the murder of our relations, so... I do feel Irish, but not Republican Irish, you know, and that's probably bigotry on my side, or a bit of narrow-mindedness on my side, but you do feel Irish. Obviously you're Irish because you're born in the island of Ireland and that, but you'd be a very strong unionist, and I see the affinity with, I suppose ideally I'd like to see Ireland rejoin the Commonwealth and showing a wee bit more recognition because Britain and Ireland obviously are two very close neighbours and they can't live without each other, and you know, we'd like to see more.
It's like a very rough marriage, isn't it?
It's a very rough marriage, you know, and you would like to think that prosperity and that would limit the mindset I suppose militant Republicans to do ever what they're doing again. But I thought Canon Peter O'Reilly, the priest in St. Michael's in Enniskillen, summed it up well, that the Enniskillen bomb was the pinnacle of the manifestation of the bigot of the distrust after the 50th anniversary of the Easter Rising. And you would like to think that that wasn't going to build a head of steam again after the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising, because... Like, Republicans obviously want Northern Ireland to rejoin a united Ireland, but I can never see it happening. But maybe it will. But and again, I can live in the Republic of Ireland as comfortably as I can in Northern Ireland. All right, my traditions and faith maybe isn't as recognised, but you'd still just put your head down and get on with it. And that, but the hurt and the aggression that the IRA has caused this last 40 years has put a united Ireland back at least 50 years, if it ever happens. You know, because people that would be moderate unionists that wouldn't have a problem with, you'd probably not have a problem with united Ireland as such or close cooperation. Yeah. When Sean Lynch, chief in command of the IRA, now Sinn Féin MLA, tells you you have to have united Ireland, you have to have an Irish language act, you just go no straight away. Whereas if some decent nationalist Republican person come and said that we'd like to have an Irish language act, we'd like to have closer cooperation, you would listen and you would have the debate.
Yeah.
But you can't have a debate with a man that tried to kill you for 40 years, has no remorse, and then start lord over you and dictate to you what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
As such, and that's just, he's the local MLA in Fermanagh, South Tyrone, he was wounded. Yeah. He's wounded in Rushlea trying to kill his neighbours. And that's so. That's unfortunate, and then unfortunately, just Sinn Féin is gaining ground. And that's like, to me, a vote for Sinn Féin is a vote for murder of your neighbour. Mm. It's not a vote for just socialist anti austerity, and there's different socialist parties you can vote for without voting for people who justify killing. And I suppose that's.
It's an extraordinary.
Yeah, well, that's
story and a very strong point.
Well, that's. I don't go out and vote. Or the unionists from Fermanagh never went out to vote for a UVF man or anybody that was convicted of killing any Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's. Again, you hold your head up high, and I suppose not moral righteousness, but.
Mm. Ian, it's an incredible story. Tell me now, are you. Do you feel a sense of threat still exists?
Not physical threat, no. No. And anyway, even if there was physical threat, it wouldn't annoy me as much now as after what you come through. But just the fact that I suppose a cultural threat, no, she've heard tell of the Braden difficulties in Newton Butler. Instead of killing you, they stood on the side of the street and verbally abused you when you walk up your street for your annual Psalm commemoration, 12th of July commemoration. Now, I'll not say there's fault on both sides, and there's certain people that is in the Orange Order is no angels either, but, you know, but, like, there's a picture in the paper one time of a brother of Richie Latimer's walking by the concerned residents and them shouting verbal abuse at him.
Yeah.
And it was extremely difficult to watch. And
I can understand, completely. Yeah.
You know, and like, sure, the laugh, the whole thing is if half of Newton Butler got into United Ireland, they'd want back into the UK very quickly when they have to pay €50 for a doctor and pay for their school books and pay for their transport to school and all the rest. So, you know, so.
Yeah,
but that's Ireland. Yeah. Sure, like, nobody's right, nobody's wrong. So,
yeah.
But thankfully, there is peace, and hopefully, long may it last.
I'm absolutely delighted that I've recorded your story. I'm delighted I've met you, Ian. So, Ian Jordan, thank you so much. Thank you.